right. God bless you, and hello again. This is Gospel for the Glory of Jesus, KREJ 100.9, in Antelope Valley with Melvin Slade. We appreciate that you're here with us. I'm Bishop Todd at Agape Church in Lancaster, and today I want to finish up that last talk we had concerning instant harvest time. And we all know about the Great Commission in Matthew, but I want to go to Matthew chapter 9 again and just read a little bit about that harvest we're talking about. And we're talking about a harvest of souls, of people, or of God's, hopefully God's children. We'll get at that too. It says here at verse 35 of chapter 9 of Matthew, it said, Jesus went around visiting all the towns and villages. He taught in the synagogues, preached the good news about the kingdom, and healed people with every kind of disease and sickness. 36. As he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with pity for them because they were worried and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So he said to his disciples, the harvest is large, and then the King James says it's plentiful, but the workers are few to gather it in. That's from the Good News. 38. Pray to the owner of the harvest, that's the Father, that he will send out workers to gather in his harvest. And that's us Christians. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we go through this lesson and open our hearts and minds to your truth. And to those that might not know you, let them know that, Lord, you could be coming back soon, and soon could be at any time. Soon means suddenly. So we thank you for that truth. But even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Last time we talked a little bit about sickness and anxiety and all those things and what causes it. But this 36 kind of hit me today. It says, as he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with pity for them because they were worried and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I think about the pre-incarnate Christ when he was with the Father, that he knew the plan. He knew the plan. He knew what God wanted and expected and required of him. But his compassion for us was so wonderful and loving that he said, I'm going to come down there and lay my life down for these, your people, your children. And, you know, one thing we need to know and understand is that right now, if you are not saved, God is only your creator. He's only your creator. There's no relationship. He's your creator, but he wants to be your father. I want you to hear and understand all those different metaphors that we went through when we talked about God is the father, he's the husbandman, and these all these different parables that's in the Bible, stories that Jesus used to open up hearts and minds of the people, and that Jesus is the vine, he's also the bread of life, he's also the bridegroom, and that Israel, as you see in the Old Testament, and the New, that God the Father considers Israel his wife, or the most intimate thing on his heart, is his love for the children of Israel, because he brought them out of slavery, and through them Jesus was born, and the church is what we call the bride. They're supposed to be without spot or wrinkle. And we are the sheep, those who have been saved. We are sheep. The harvesters, as it's saying here, there's a great need for people to harvest the harvest. That's us. Those are those who are saved, who are gifted workers who are supposed to be bringing people to Christ through evangelism. Then the fishers of men, that's us also. That's another metaphor. And then eating, the word eating, when you see it in the word, it's talking about believing, eating the word, believe the word, ingest it, metabolize it, make it a part of who you are spiritually. And that's and then we have this physical life, but he wants us to yearn for eternal life. He wants us not to focus on our fleshly body, but on our spiritual body that's inside of us, that is has all power through the Holy Spirit. God has given us love, power, and a sound mind. When we were reborn, we became a new creation, and that means we're a whole new creature. We're something like a hybrid. We're different. We're gonna have a new mind and a new body, just like Christ. And it says also that, you know, that Christ, when he came back and talked with the disciples, more than 500 of them, after he ascended to be with the Father, he came back and met them, and they talked, and he taught them the things that they needed to know. And yet he, even in the book of John, it says at the end of it, he said he went fishing, there was a fish fry right on the beach. Peter and him were out there fishing, couldn't even get any fish. And then Jesus showed him he was the greatest fisherman of them all. He even taught the fishermen how to fish. But he wants us to be fishers of men. So I said all that to make sure we're clarified on this harvest. We're not talking about fishing right now. We're talking about being farm workers who can bring people to Jesus Christ. So here we are. Let's look at God's purpose for us and his purpose. We can see God's purpose in the Word of God. Go to Ephesians. I hope you have your Bibles or your telephones. That's why most of you have your Bible, huh? I'm in the Good News Bible, but in chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, let's go back to 3. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's exclamation point. It should be read like this. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Romans 5 says he poured his love into our hearts to make us even able to love him and to love people and to love serving him and to love doing for him. And without him, we couldn't even do it. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. We needed a helper. We needed someone to teach us. We needed the paraclete to guide us through all the things that would take place in helping us to bring people to Christ. Well, that's why we have to depend on him, lean on him, so he can guide us and order our steps. So God, he did that when we got saved. He gave us everything we needed, 7 different things that the Holy Spirit does for us that should keep us on the road to bringing people to him. Because he's doing the work, not us. He's doing it through us. And that's what holiness is. I don't know. People get all upset when they hear the word holy, and that God said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. And he's trying to get us to understand that when you're holy, you have to understand you have a responsibility to keep your hands clean, to keep your life clean, a certain lifestyle, so that God can inhabit you and work through you. So it's protect, it's to keep you from spiritual diseases, to help you so that you can serve him in spirit and in truth. So holiness is when you allow his spirit, the Holy Spirit, to totally dwell in you. And when you get born again, he's coming to live inside of you, but he doesn't always dwell. Because you can be a carnal Christian and let your flesh be the one that rules from the outside. But God wants us to be ruled from the inside out, to tell the flesh what to do. That's what holiness is. So that's when God is able to walk through us, walk with us, and talk with us through the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus Christ is right there on the road with us again. So he never leaves us nor forsakes. He's always with us, always present, always. So, but for us to walk with him, to keep that relationship, we have to leave sin alone. But if we sin, he says this, if we would just confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, if you say you don't sin, the Bible says you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So yeah, we walk this. He's made us these unique beings who have strength and weaknesses and uniqueness. We're just a wonderfully gifted, blessed people that God made us. He loves our strengths. He loves our weaknesses. And God loves our uniqueness. That's why and that's why the Father wants a diversity of people, all types, all. When you look at the throne and look at the heavenly choir in the book of Revelation, it says made up of all tribes, all groups, all kinds of people. And so he loves us. He wants us to be able to, but he wants to be in us and have the same character that Jesus Christ had as he walked the earth, so that we can show that we're sons of God. And then this agape love thing. Without holiness, you can't really have agape love flowing through you the way it should. Because agape love is when you allow God's love to flow through you to others. God loves us so much. He has so much an abundance of love that he wants to love through us. So wherever we walk with it, and this perfect walk in tune and in unity with him, we're able to love people as he directs us to love them and show us how to love them. And it's not always saying, I love you. It's not that kind of a erotic affection. It's but he wants us to have brotherly love, family love, and love for our mates and all that. But the priority is to love him first. And when we do that, all the rest of our ways of directing our love, he guides us in how to do that. How to have a happy family life, how to have a happy wife, and all the other good stuff, because he's loving through us. This other verse says, verse 5, he said, because of his love, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, he would make us his children. This was his pleasure and purpose. God had a purpose, brothers and sisters, for us. He wanted us to be his children. I just got to explain that. Excuse me, but I want you to hear it from the word. His purpose was that this was his pleasure and purpose, that we would be his children. So let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear son. 7, for by the blood of Christ we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God which he gave to us in such large measure. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4. And it says this. that he came to show us that you are, to show us that you are his children. God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who cries out, Father, my Father. So then, you are no longer a slave, but a child. And since you are his child, God will give you all that he has for his children. Wow. God has everything. He wants you to have everything he has. Wow. He's a discerner of hearts. He knows those that love him. He knows those that don't love him. Well, how do we become his children? That can happen only by us trusting and believing on his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Believing in him. That means to lean and trust in him with all we've got. And that's just a mustard seed of faith, because most of us are people who live by sight and not by faith. But because most of us don't trust anybody. We're born people who don't trust folk. But praise God that he gives you even the power to trust him. He gives us the faith to be able to trust him. Thank you, Lord. So all we have to do is depend on and be. And Jesus, the Father wants us to know this. If we go past trusting him and we love him, love his son, when you start to love him, when you realize, wow, all this time I've been trying to live my own life. I've been putting myself first. Wow. Now you find that you got someone that you can trust and love, because Titus 1:2 says that God cannot lie. He cannot lie. When we know that, we know we can put all of our trust in him. Well, you say, well, I never seen him face to face, or I only know him through history. Well, this is better than the people that that lived before during the time of Moses. Their belief was in that he was going to become, he was coming, and that one day that he was going to come and save the world. We can be transformed as his children from sinners to sons of God. And that is when God allows us to really become a holy person. That means we allow God to live inside of us, filled with his agape love, spirit and in truth. His word directed us. Rhema word, which is a real word for today, from the power of the spirit, all of our emotions, our mind, and then the logos that deals with our logic, which is Jesus Christ himself. Rhema being Holy Spirit, and Jesus being the logos, the word of God. So you got spirit and truth combined to give you, make us a people who are truly blessed and who are spiritually balanced. We're not all crazy and fanatical. We are guided by the Holy Spirit that gives us a real balance and a real understanding of who God is, truly is. So that means do good. So what are you saying, Brother Todd? I'm saying you need to examine your life to see that you're in the faith. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Are you really a believer? Are you really, if the rapture happened tomorrow, would you be ready? Have you tried to win your family and your brothers and sisters to Christ? Have you tried to win your enemies to Christ? If all of a sudden, as it says in Revelation chapter 4, Jesus said in that thunderous voice of his, it sounded like many waters, come up hither. And all of a sudden, all the Christians vanished. And Satan is expelled to the earth. As Christians go up, Satan comes down. And the tribulation starts. Wow, would you be ready for that? God doesn't want anybody to be left behind. He loves all of us. He's looking for all of us to be at his throne. Not as his creation, but as his children. And that's why we talk about the blessed hope. In Titus it says we ought to be looking forward to that day that you might not have to die. You might not have to die physically. You might be translated or transformed in the twinkling of an eye. That Jesus could return, and it says the dead in Christ would rise first. And then those who are around, who are living, they'll be next. I had a dream. I'm not like Martin Luther King. I had a dream one night, you know, and it was, I've had several rapture dreams. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's been documented and even on YouTube that in the last 3 or 4 years, just like it says in Acts chapter 2, there has been people who have called in, written in, people have explained their dreams, documented their dreams. In the last 3 or 4 years, there's been more than 3.5 million dreams about the rapture of the church, of Christians. And that kind of reminded me of that little movie that came out dealing with Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when everybody was seeing this mountain, the devil's Devil's Peak or whatever the name it was, and started trying to get there because they said there was something that was going to happen. We ended up talking about spaceships, but we're talking about the rapture. The Lord is letting us know that in dreams, just like it says in Job, that he can talk to us in dreams while we're sleeping, because that's the only time he can talk to us, because we're on the phone most of the time. But we thank God that even then he does stick with us. But anyway, in a whirlwind, that's what's going to happen. God is going to take us up. And the reason why I'm telling you this is that I heard the other day on YouTube, someone gave the same testimony and the same dream. They had the same dream I had. So I was saying, Lord God, are you ready for me to start talking about the rapture? Yes, and he's ready for Christians to start becoming radical Christians. Stop being so laid back, but be ready to tell the world that Jesus is coming soon. Even if it's 50 years from now, that's still soon, because it still gives us a lot of work to do for him. Thank you so much. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all you've done and all you're doing in the world today. Touch hearts, Lord. Bring people with your spirit to you. Let them hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.